What's up, everyone? This is your host, Daniel and...
Avi, and you're listening to the Brown Sound Podcast.
We're just two brown best amigos talking about everything and anything through a Latino and Indigenous perspective.
In this podcast, we uplift Indigenous and Latino insights on a variety of topics that highlight the intersectionality of both cultures.
Expect some tears, joy, and definitely some laughter. Imagine chilling with your two best friends, talking smack, and throwing a little shade. And now, a word from our sponsors.
Dude, Daniel, long time no see. What are the odds?
Javi, right? Let's turn this day into a jackpot.
By the way, have you tasted the goodness of the Yawinma Cafe?
Bruh, like 100 times. And the Kakit restaurant? Top notch.
And let's not forget the epicness of the stadium sports bar.
The Clearwater River Casino is your play, stay, getaway location. It's not just our thing, it's a lifestyle.
Absolutely, and guess what? This awesome time is brought to you by the Clearwater River Casino and Lodge, our Season 6 sponsors. Hey everyone, it's Javi.
And Daniel. We want to give a big shout out to Nimi Poo Fund for their support of the Brown Sound Podcast Season 6.
Nimi Poo Fund's commitment to fostering the growth and prosperity of Native small businesses and all businesses is truly commendable.
Whether you're looking for financial assistance, business coaching, or training resources, Nimi Poo Fund has you covered.
Visit NimiPooFund.org to learn more and get involved in building a brighter future with Nimi Poo Fund. Hey, Daniel, what's going on?
Javi, not much, just craving some pan dulce and tacos, and what better place than La Esperanza, right?
Exactly, it's like visiting my family, but with even more delicious options. Have you tried their tamales? They're so good.
Oh, sí? And their pan dulce? Delicioso. Plus, they can whip up a custom cake for any occasion. Talk about sweet perfection.
And don't forget their fresh produce and carne asada ready meats, perfect for those summer cookouts.
Absolutely, and guess what? They got a new menu now, tacos, burritos, and even quesadilla with homemade tortillas.
¡Qué rico! And let's not overlook their weekend specials, pozole, caldo de res, and menudo, the perfect cures for any hangover.
You got that right. La Esperanza has been a staple in Nampa since 2006, and their new location is just the icing on the cake.
Literally. So what are we waiting for? Let's dive into some authentic flavors of La Esperanza. ¡Vámonos!
La Esperanza Market and Bakery is located at 623 Caldo Boulevard in Nampa, Idaho. They can be reached at 208-546-0203.
This fun message is brought to you by La Esperanza Market and Bakery, our Season 6 sponsors.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Brown Sound Season 6, Episode 9. I'm here with you, Chiquex. Inam lautiwa mana awas. ¿Cómo está mi amigo?
What is up, everybody? Friendly Javi and Daniel here in the house. Excited to be back.
Friendly.
Well, I feel like that's actually a question for you. If people had to describe you in one word, what word do you think they would describe you as?
Starting off shady right away. I think if people were to describe me as in one word, I'm sure people would probably say like handsome, super attractive, ooh, amazing, great, funny. Just kidding. No. Yeah, Chiggix, you know, I think we both are amazing individuals and we have to believe that about ourselves.
You do. So. That's true. Like, if you don't have confidence in yourself, like, who else is going to have it in you?
Yeah,
right?
Not me. That's for sure. <Just kidding. laughs> No, honestly, I think if people were to describe me, people might just say I'm funny or crazy. Like, that's usually what I get most times. Like, man, I can't believe you just said that. You're crazy. You know, so I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's me. What about you?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that I'm just chill. I think I'm chill.
You're like, he's a pervert.
Just after that last reel I sent. Yeah.
Just kind of creepy.
No one's ever said that to my face, so I'd hope not.
Yeah. Let's hope no one thinks we're creepy. I feel like that would be the biggest like ego
insult, right?
Yeah, like that's why you don't see me like, you know, I know a lot of guys especially could be brave and camp out in DMs and stuff, but me, I'm like, I would be so embarrassed if I was like constantly in some girl's DMs and then they're like, yeah, it's getting creepy. Like I would be like, yeah. I just want to take you out, but it's
yeah. Well, it's funny because I always have that fear too of coming off like that way. So you know how like whenever you're like hanging out with your buddies and they're like, oh, go over there and talk to her. If you're like, oh, she looks, you know, cute, yeah, or whatever, and you're like, around. Oh, well, and then you're like, no, like they're like, well, what's the worst she can say? No, and then you're like, well, I guess that makes sense. But I saw this. It was like a show, and that legit situation happened, and the guy went over to talk to the girl, and she said, ew.
that would be
that's worse than no, like that's
just ew. That would be a dagger in the heart, in the tamina.
I would just never go out again after that.
Yeah. Like, I would dedicate my life to the Lord and just serve him for the rest of my days. Oh, ew.
God's all, God's all, we good.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Nah, that's
funny.
No, but yes, don't be creepy, y'all, and be respectful and mindful of people's boundaries. Yeah, is what I would say. No, Chikex, I wanted to. Well, one, I got to talk about something. You are coming down this weekend, so I'm excited for that. Mm-hmm. Every time we link up and hang out, it's always a vibe. Yes. But I want to talk about something we already have planned to do.
Yes.
And that is go to an R&B night at the Knitting Factory this Friday night.
Yeah. So, got himself a table. On a
VIP over here, everybody.
Popping bottles in.
I don't think that bottle's there, but
yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works. I've never gone to an R&B night at the. I mean, I've gone to the like the reggaeton nights there, but
at the Knitting Factory,
But the R&B night, you know, anyone that knows me knows that I love a good love jam, and I am always listening to R&B, especially old school R&B. So, like, I'm excited. It should be fun.
Yeah, the music should be popping. What are your other things that you're looking forward to at this R&B night? Just curious.
Looking for an R&B? No, I'm just kidding. looking for that little you know, little sweet tenderoni PYT to slow dance with out there. I'm like, DJ, play some Usher. Just kidding.
Yeah, so is Usher considered R&B? Like, I was thinking about like what artists would fall under that category, and
I'm Usher, having a hard time. Probably like, who Keith else? Sweat, Jodeci. I mean, Boys to Men. I feel like there would be R&B. I think I said Keith Sweat. Like, I don't know, Love Jam. It's probably Chris Brown, some.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. It should be. I'm excited just because I'm a huge fan of R&B. So it should be fun. I bet it's probably going to be a nice little vibe. Good little, you know, probably some little young tenderonis out there. And who knows?
Yeah. It should be fun. And, you know, we don't go out a lot. Like, I don't, anyways. Like, I don't typically go out to these kind of events. Yeah. So it'll be fun. I feel like I'm aging out of the.
Yeah. Because it's kind of has like that club feel to it a little bit. Like, the.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm like 30. Like, should I be at a club at 30? No. I'm looking forward to it just because it's something different. And normally the nightlife in my area that I live in Idaho sucks. So it'll be nice.
No, it'll be fun. Typically, like I think, and tell me if you think like this is true too. I think about it at home too. Like I... Well, love me a good concert. So if I'm going to sing along and just like listen, because it's a vibe, you know, like The Killers or like, Lizzo, you know, bands like that. But if like, I think I'm too old to be at clubs, you know what I mean? Like, I remember being in college and being at those little clubs, like dancing, drinking. And then there was like older people and I'd always be like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
So I'm like wondering if that would be me. Like, if I'm showing up and the young kids are like, what is grandpa doing on? You know what I mean? Like
what's the brown sound doing here? Yeah, no, I agree. I used to think that too, like when I was freshly 21 and going out all the time, and like I would see the older crowd of people from Lapway out at the bars, and I'd be like, go home to your kids. Like, why are you here? But I mean, I guess for us, we don't have kids or wives. Yeah. So, I mean, we can go out as much as we want if we, you
know, and we don't look old either, I would say.
And we can afford it. You know, this car this car don't get declined. Just kidding. So no, I mean, yeah, I always thought that too, because recently I went out in Lewiston for a friend's birthday, and I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't been out in Lewiston in like probably a couple years, and it's still the same. Like, I feel like nothing has changed. It's just a newer generation of younger people in the LC Valley. And for me, I felt old because I was seeing some of my niece Shaylee's like old classmates. And so I'm like, my niece just turned 22. So I'm like, yeah, I should not be at this bar.
Right.
A bunch of 21-year-olds and 22-year-olds. But I mean, like you said, I don't go out to that scene often. So when I do go out, people usually do are like, hey, I haven't seen you forever. So it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, yeah, I make sure of that, you know.
Like, yeah. And definitely like at our age, I feel like you know, you can't go act crazy and be, you know, buck wild out at these nights either, because it's like, well, you're also older, and it kind of
the hangover, you know, reputation takes,
the bounce back takes forever. But also I feel like at this age, like, we, those aren't things that I'm really concerned about, you know what I mean? Like, it's
I feel like for us, like, our little bar scene would be like a little lounge. It's maybe like kind of quiet, and you could talk to, you know, somewhere where it's not like super loud. Like, I don't know, I enjoy like those little speakeasies that you take us to, like those are a vibe, because it's like, you know, not like a club scene. But but yeah, I mean, to each their own, I guess. If you are 40 out having a good time, go live your life. I ain't judging.
Go do it. Yeah.
Good for you. You know, someone's got to do it. I'll leave it up to you.
Hold us down.
Yeah. Represent us older ones in a good light.
That's the important part. In a good light. So another thing I want to talk about, Chikix, was we've been announcing and asking people to save the date for April 20th for a live event that we're having for financial literacy, essentially, right? Building generational wealth. And it's a panel discussion with some of our industry experts to, you know, really discuss all those things that people from our communities typically don't get the opportunity to learn about, or, you know, have the opportunity to participate in, like the home buyer process, starting a business, or, you know, anything like that. So we do want to announce that our date will be changing. We had some things come up, so that date is postponed. And as soon as we figure out the new date, we want to share that with you all and invite you all to come and join us. So I didn't want to announce that before we get the conversation flowing. But the other thing I was going to share, Chikix, is you're coming down, and I just moved into a new apartment, and I'm doing a little housewarming, like a little get-together with some close friends and family members.
A little sip-and-see.
A little sip-and-see, right. So what I want to talk to you about is something we discussed on the phone like a few nights ago, where you asked me about moving in. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I'm buying this, I'm buying that. I got my room all situated, you know, new home stuff. And they're like, well, have you like smudged it yet? Have you like, you know, like, have you
blessed it?
Yeah. And I was like, no. And then you were, let's talk about that. Cause I've never done that anytime I moved into a new place, but I also feel like the energy I'm bringing into where I live has to be like, you know, like good vibes. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the other night when you told me that you haven't like blessed your house or smudged it, you know, and usually smudging is done with like sage, cedar, sweetgrass, whatever type of, you know, native plant, I guess, we use to bless houses or our spaces. So for me, I was like, ooh, like I would feel a little weird. But then again, but you are the first person to live in your apartment is brand new. So I'm like, well, there's there's no one that has lived there before you. Like, you're
looking no residual energy,
the first person to live in there. So I'm like, okay, so it is brand new, but I think that like the native in me, anywhere we go to, if it's a new, whether it's a workplace or a house or I don't know, just wherever, we just tend to smudge the energy, just because you want to make sure you're, you know, keeping the bad vibes out and bringing in pure, you know, clean energy or whatever. But I remember when you said that, I was like, oh, like.
Well, then you're like, so you just let the spirits work in? And I'm like, no, I didn't say that.
So you're just living with the spirits now?
Which kind of made me think, though, like, no, like, I don't, you know, I definitely am not calling that energy or that kind of thing my way. But actually, that kind of brings to light a little bit of what the conversation today is going to be about. So culturally, we have different thoughts and beliefs on, you know, the supernatural, I guess, for lack of a better word, term. But the spookies, right? I want to talk a little bit about that with you. And not in a way to call this to us, because that's not what we're trying to do at all.
No, not that. Stay where you're at, spookies.
Yes. Yeah. But more from like a cultural perspective to share with our listeners, kind of like, you know, how is it that our communities interact with this topic, yeah. I guess. So let's talk about ghosts first. Like, for you in your culture, are ghosts something that you believe in? Like, and what does that look like?
Just kidding. Yeah, I feel like in a lot of Native cultures, there's always a ton of like spiritual type of activity stories, you know? Yeah. And I don't know if we necessarily would call them like a ghost, you know? Like, I think it's usually just like a spirit, or whether it's a bad spirit or a good spirit. But yeah, I feel like a lot of Native people have that, like, those like spiritual, you know, or those kind of scary stories. Like, there's things that you do to not want to call those spirits to you or to your house or to your family and things like that. So for me personally, growing up on my own reservation, I've always kind of believed in ghosts, and I've always kind of was just taught, like, you know, you don't call them, or don't, you know, don't pay them no mind, or you're gonna attract them more, or things like that. I don't mess with ghosts, you know. I'm like a big chicken. Like, I don't do scary movies. I don't do scary stories, really. But I do tend to always have weird spiritual, like, encounters at work.
Okay.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. So can I ask a question about these ghosts or spirits? So are they like the ghosts that, like, American media, like, portrays? So it's like somebody, like, whose spirit hasn't passed on? Yeah. Is that what one of these is? Or is it like just a random, like, spirit?
I don't honestly know. I don't work for Ghostbusters. Just kidding. No. Yeah. No, not me. I'm not answering the ghost call. You call someone else. Call your pastor. Don't call me. No, I think for Native people especially, it's usually like, it could be like a spirit of maybe someone who, you know, could have been brutally murdered or could have gone in the way. Maybe they weren't like rightfully sent off on their journey in a good way. Cause a lot of times when we say on your journey, to mean like from this world to the spirit, you know, world. So, so sometimes, you know, there's different protocols that people do in order to make sure your spirit makes it to those happy lands. And, so sometimes in the way, maybe could be wandering because they haven't been properly taken care of. Or, sometimes too, like, I think a lot of places, especially the old buildings in the area that I live in, have a lot of activity because of what they were prior to it being like,
what bad it is spaces now.
Yeah, so like, I know in Lapway there's a figure eight where people walk in, it's where the old agency, you know, typically like where all the forts were built a long time ago, because Lapway was originally called Fort Lapway because it was like, you know the settlers or whatever. Yeah. And so like those areas have a lot of energy because of the buildings were hospitals or tuberculosis hospitals and things like that. And so when those people who were murdered or whoever, however they died, a lot of them were just stored in a room until spring, and then they were like just dumped. So I think those things like that, not properly being cared for or sent off, they have some wandering, you know, spirits. But and then too, a lot of our community centers throughout our reservation are used for funerals and memorials and things like that. So I think the energy between maybe here and like the spirit world is really heavy because of like funerals and bodies being here. And I don't know. It's
yeah, kind of, it's almost like because that happens there, that energy calls more of that energy there. So yeah, that kind of makes sense. I was going to share, like, growing up, ghosts were always associated for us in any way that we spoke to kind of like religion. So they always I remember growing up and thinking ghosts were bad because it was like demons or like, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And my family grew up strongly Catholic. So, you know, that would always scare me. So just the idea of ghosts to me was scary.
Yeah,
like, you know, like, and so I never wanted to like deal with that or like be a part of that. But, you know, as I've gotten older and learned more about like different like perspectives or different cultures and how they engage with like these supernatural entities, like all I know for sure is I don't know if I necessarily believe in it, but I also know I'm not going to mess with it and I'm going to respect it. You know, like, you're not going to see me trying to talk to the dead with the Ouija board or nothing like that. Because I just feel like when you play with things like that, like, you know, you don't really know what you're playing with. You know what I mean? So that's not something that I would do. But let me ask you something else. Like, what do you do apart from staying away from like engaging in these kind of activities that would call these kind of things to you? How do you protect yourself from like energy like that?
Well, one, I feel like the energy that I put out into this world, into this universe, isn't one of where I'm going to attract like negative or dark energy like that. I try to be on a spiritual path, which is like where I'm in a good place spiritually with, you know, creator or God or whoever you want to call, you know, creator. But, for me, what I do, especially to like you said, grew up in a religious family growing up. I've grown up in the church, so I've always learned that, you know, things of that weren't of God were bad, like the spirits and demons and stuff. So for me, I think at a young age, I've always learned to pray. Like, I've always been someone who's always, I think this is very common with Native people. We're just very spiritual people. We're a praying people. So for me at a young age, I've always learned, like, if I was ever scared or freaked out, like just start praying, you know, just kind of like, just start praying. But what I do as an adult, especially living like in my own space, I always try to make sure I don't invite that stuff in. Like, I'm not at home watching The Exorcism. I've never liked scary movies. Ever since I was a kid, I was like, hell no, I do not want to watch something with no demons, no ghosts. I think the scariest movie I ever watched was like paranormal movies, you know, because I knew they were like fake, kind of fake. I don't know, but I just don't mess with that kind of stuff, so I don't allow it in my home, because I feel like that is inviting it in. You're putting it in your space where your home is like your comfort zone, and so I don't do that kind of stuff. I don't watch nothing like that, but I tend to obviously smudge. Like, I have cedar and potosue, sage and sweet grass. I try to smudge, I probably should every day, but you know, life happens. But I try to smudge our house regularly, because, you know, also too, Natives, like some Natives too, I can't speak for all, but like with my own tribe, we believe that you can also carry something with you even if you didn't like mean to. Like, for example, the building that I work in is very, I would say, very activated with spiritual activity. Like, there's always something creepy happening here. I've experienced stuff at work, in my office. And for me, when I leave, I make sure to not allow me to carry that energy with me home. I'm like, nope, you stay here. I don't mind you bugging me from 8 to 4:30, but you ain't coming home with me. Like, stay your little ghost ass here. No, I'm just kidding. But that's what I kind of do, just make sure I'm like, you know, cleansing the energy, trying to not attract anything. And I don't try to like piss it off either. Like, I'm not over here like, if you're real, show me. You know, I ain't trying to tell. I ain't like, I believe you. Once you made the little door handle shake, okay, I believe you. You're here. Just leave me alone. I ain't here to bother you.
Right. I was thinking about that too, because growing up, like I mentioned, you know, religious art things were like what we would use to protect. So yes, we turn a prayer, but also like, I remember like we used to have like candles with the Virgin Mary on them that we would light up.
Like a cross.
Yeah, like putting things up. And then I also remember too, like, not me, but like in movies or like with other family members or people in our community, they would go to like the Catholic Church and ask for holy water and ask the priest to come in and bless their house. So that's pretty common still, I think, in some houses them for a lot of religions. But me personally, me Javi, the not super religious person, I think I never, just like you, I stay away from things like that. I think that if you are engaging in it, participating in it, immersing yourself in it, you're calling it to you.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to me that if you're watching those kinds of movies, those kind of situations might, you know, present themselves to you. So I always stay away from things like that too. I particularly hate scary movies because of jump scares, not necessarily because of the, I don't walk away from a scary movie thinking, oh, that, you know, whatever that thing was is going to come and find me or get me. I never think that way. Because I think, again, you're just inviting the opportunity for that to happen. Yeah. But I hate the jump scares, and that's really why I absolutely will not watch. Yeah. But that brings to mind, Chikex, because you mentioned something earlier about not watching The Exorcist. What is the first memory you have of watching anything or hearing about anything that had to do with this kind of topic that you were like, do you remember? Do you remember like one of the very first times that you're like, oh, shoot, like what?
All the Thriller video by Michael Jackson.
Just kidding. Oh, that one was scary.
I remember being scared of that as a kid. I always remember when he turns around and his eyes are like yellow. He's like, ah, like that's the part that used to freak me out. But growing up, like I said, like I grew up, my mom was, you know, my mom and my grandma and my family religious. So I didn't really get to watch scary stuff even in our home. Right. Like we're like, you know, I grew up with like a religious family. So they're like, no, you're not watching that here. And so I never really watch nothing too scary unless it's like at a friend's house or something. Yeah. And I remember the first time I watched like something creepy like that was The Fourth Kind. Remember that movie with the aliens? And I remember we went to watch that in the theater because I remember people
were
like,
all
the friends were like, let's go. And I was like, fuck, I don't want to look like a little punk and not go. Yeah. Like, so I went and I remember being so freaked out because of the alien, the footage and the different stuff. And I remember like, and for one, on that movie, they talk about like 333, the owl. Yes. The owl being bad. In my tribe's belief, like, owls are bad. Like, we don't look at owls. We don't, you know. So that freaked me out even more because I'm like, there's like a cultural
element to that.
So I was like, oh, no, I don't mess with owls either. So, that was probably the very first. And I remember even like telling my mom, like kind of being freaked out. And she was like, well, that's what you get for watching those. Like, what I tell you, know, like, I'm like, I know you were right, mom. But yeah, I don't see. That was probably the first time I've ever. And then too, like where I live on the res, it's like kind of like, you know, it's rural Idaho. So there's not a lot of big city lights. It's dark. You're out in the country. So I'm like, I don't do nothing like.
Yo, when I was on Sprint and I visited Daniel, I didn't have service over there. I'd have to connect to the Wi-Fi. That's how remote it is.
Yeah, now,
I have a Verizon, so I don't have a service everywhere.
Sponsor us Verizon, because I have Verizon as well. Putting that out there.
One of the things I was going to share with you, Cheek X, is that, you know, one of the very first movies I remember seeing, and let me know if you've watched it too, was The Poltergeist. And that's the one where, you're going to get a kick out of this. Part of the reason for why this house was being haunted and kids were getting pulled into like TVs and like spooky places is they were on an Indian burial ground.
Oh, see, that's why you don't mess with those dead Indians. I tell you that right now. When it comes to, you know, I'm sure any person, race or whatever, a dead body's probably bad. But when it comes to a dead native person, oh, that's the end of the world. They're like, oh, no way.
Well, and so I remember watching that and being super freaked out as a little kid. I'm like, one, who let me watch that? I can't remember. And two, like, it just really freaked me out. And another thing I got to share about is, I don't know about your religious family, but with my religious family and I had Catholic family. I had family that was Jehovah's Witness, and also family members that were, or close friends that were Mormon. But when I was a little kid, do you ever remember, especially for church discussions, what they would talk about, how, you know, the end of the world is going to come, and that, you know, the, like, everybody's going to die, and like, you know, like, then people would come back to life later. As a little kid trying to comprehend that, like, that freaked me out. I'm like, well, I'm going to, you know, thinking about your own mortality as a kid and then making you think about that, you're like, well, you're scared. I don't want to, you know, no one wants to die. But as a little kid, like, that's even more scary. You know what I mean? And so this whole idea of, of dying and coming back to life. Like, it just didn't make sense to me. So in my head, I'm like, so am I going to be a ghost? Am I coming back as a ghost? You know, like, I was thinking about those things as a little kid because it didn't make sense to me. So I feel like either whoever was explaining that to me, which was a lot of people, they need to do better about explaining that to little kids.
Yeah.
But two, I think those things kind of go, as a little kid, it's scarier because you don't really understand. It's already hard enough to grasp or understand, but it's already like scary enough when it's a movie telling you, like, you know, you can get sucked into a TV and then, like, you're, you know, get taken by like ghosts. So that makes it more scary.
You realize one of the things gonna say, when you're watching the Poltergeist, you're like, what? Indians are real?
Oh, for 10 years after that, I was scared of Indians. Just kidding. Oh, I know. Just kidding.
I think when it comes to like religion stuff, though, it's so funny because just like a few weeks ago, it was Easter, and my sister and them, they went to church and stuff, and I didn't. You know, I didn't make it, unfortunately, but next year, Christmas time. No, but my nephew, they were doing communion. And you know how with communion, they say like, oh, like, you know, eat this bread in memory of Jesus's, you know, body. And then the juice is like his blood. And my nephew was like, ew, sick. I don't want his blood. Like, he didn't understand that it was like just like juice and bread. Yeah, he thought it was like real, like Jesus's real blood and stuff. And it was so funny. And because that's when we're like laughing, because like, well, at least he's paying attention in church, because he's like he's like listening. But we're cracking up because it just made me think of like what you're saying, like when it comes to kids and like being told things. And my nephew was like, ew, no, I don't want his blood. They're like, it's just juice, tough, just drink the juice.
Well, and then that actually makes me remember too, that not only are ghosts like, you know, part of the supernatural experience, like I remember growing up and hearing about vampires for the first time, like, what, they suck your blood from your neck? Or like mummies, you know, they I remember Disney Channel had like a mummy movie. Are You Afraid of the Dark, the Boogeyman? Yeah, remember all those? And those can be a little bit scary. But really quick, back to what you said about The Fourth Kind. So I watched that for the first time in college, and I could not go to sleep. I could not go to sleep.
It's freaky.
And a movie like those kind of things, like watching a movie and having scary crap like that happen doesn't scare me. It's the jump scares. But this movie legit had me like at night, like, oh my God, fall asleep before 3:33.
I'm not checking the clock.
I'm not checking the window either. Yeah. And to give you all some premise, so here's what happened in The Fourth Kind. And if you want to go watch it and then tell us, don't text me at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep.
Text me at 10 in the morning or something.
So here's the premise. It's this small town in Nome, Alaska that you can only get to through boat or airplane. So people literally have to make a plan to get there. Mm. And it's the small community of like loggers and other things. And it's small, but it's mostly developed, I would say. And they have like a therapist there. They have a sheriff and they have other people that live there. Well, this therapist specializes in hypnotherapy. And so she has all these clients that come through. And what she discovers is they all have this similar, under hypnosis, similar story, which is they're sleeping. They look out the window. There's an owl. And then next thing they know, there's like these things in there that take them, and people have this averse reaction. So they're yelling. So this whole time you're thinking about, well, why is that happening? You know, why is that consistent thing within this community? And then like more freaky shit happens. But what this movie does is they show you a side-by-side comparison of when someone's under hypnotism, being hypnotized. And then like, so it's like the movie's version of it versus the real recording, and they play it side to side, and it freaks you the F out. Mm-hmm. It freaks you out. And you know, this isn't a scary thing, it's like an alien thing, which is weird too, because they, you know, and they do start off by telling you that in Nome, Alaska, people go missing very frequently. You know, and so scary. Watch it. Let us know what you think. Yeah.
Don't text us at 3:33 though.
Nope.
The next day. Just wait till the next day. Text us and then give us your thoughts.
You know, but that's the thing though. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be spirits, but you can attract negative energy to yourself if you're not careful, right?
That part.
Yeah. So I wanted to bring another thing to light, which was this idea that, you know, whatever you want to call it, like after being colonized, you know, this religion plays a big factor into cultural beliefs. But I know, Daniel, some of the things that you've been sharing is like spiritual stuff doesn't need to be scary or bad.
Yeah.
So do we want to talk about the difference between like brujeria or what we know as witchcraft versus like just spiritual stuff?
Right.
And how that's different, you know? I mean, I think that'd be a good starting place.
Yeah, I think too, like, for example, when it comes to people's belief systems, I got to be careful of like what we say, just not saying someone's belief is wrong or bad because right. of this. Like, I personally myself, I don't consider myself a religious person. I'm not yeah. like, you know, I grew up in the church and stuff, but I don't actively go. I haven't been in a while. I just, you know, some things are just different. But so but the older I got and the more kind of, I guess, just own research and just as things come out, I think it's crazy how religion does play a part in calling someone else's belief bad or like ungodly or whatever, you know, like
right.
What I'm thinking of, like, even in our own, my own tribes, like, before Christianity and stuff, our tribe, my people were already praying and already having their relationship with, you know, creator, Honeywat. And Honeywat means creator in this person. So, it wasn't until, like, the Christian, like, missionaries got here and it became bad or heathens or, you know, ungodly. And I kind of think of that of, like, when it comes to, like, voodoo or stuff. Like, you hear things, people talk about voodoo being like, ooh, that's, you know, black magic or it's scary or whatever, but like voodoo is like, I believe it's like an African religion,
yeah,
you know, that dates pre-colonization. So I think like those terms, like when it comes to things like that, I'm like, is it really like bad if it's someone's belief? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not an expert on voodoo or anything either, but like, I'm just think like when it comes to those, like, especially like tribal, like indigenous peoples and their spirituality, I think a lot of it has been painted in a bad light, even though it isn't bad. It's just not what I guess Christians or other religious groups believe in. But I mean, yeah, I think for me, I just am always trying to be careful at when it comes to like indigenous spirituality, because I don't want to like say it's bad because I don't know or because right. I was raised a certain way or something, you know. So I don't know. It's just one of those things where I think about it all the time. Like, is it bad or is it just bad because it's not like through colonization? I don't know.
Yeah, and that to me, I hadn't thought about it that way before, because literally when you pointed that out, I'm like, that's not a perspective I've ever considered, which yeah. is like, the dominant culture says what is good and what isn't, right? They get yeah. to write history. So the fact that we're coming from this like religious lens on seeing how these communities, not of the predominant population, right, interact with their own spirituality or beliefs and labeling yeah. that as bad or scary because we don't understand it or aren't a part of it, that's interesting.
Right.
And obviously we can't condone like all the things people's beliefs. You know, but there's things that obviously I'm like, fundamentally, I'm like, well, you know, I don't get it, but also do you, but I won't yeah. be doing that kind of thing.
I'm one of those people, like, and I see this all the time on social media where it's like, it is kind of weird. Like, I don't put down anyone else's belief, whether you are a Christian or, I mean, I don't do like no demon worshiping or things like that. But like, if yeah. you, I don't know about all that. No, no, just kidding. But like, you know, for people who are always like bashing others for what their religious beliefs are or whatever, like for me, I'm like, I don't care what someone believes in, because if it don't affect me personally, that's just for yeah. anything, I don't yeah. give it that energy. I'm just like the type of person, like, wherever you find your peace and your comfort, whether it's through your tribal spiritualities, like for example Longhouse or Sundance or whatever, or if you find it in a church or in a temple or wherever, like that's on you, you know. It's not yeah. it's not my place to say like you shouldn't be a Christian because that what they did to our people or whatever, you know. I'm just like, you know, right. if you want to do what you want to do, that's on you. I just, it yeah. doesn't yeah.
Speaking of like family, you know, relationship or family dynamics and as it relates to spirituality, I wanted to ask something about like family superstitions. Do you have like any like, yeah, superstitions or like supernatural things that like you just know you're not supposed to do that your family's taught you or community's taught you? You know, things that you need to be aware of when you're experiencing this type of phenomenon, I guess. or how not to call it to you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, for us, like, one thing is, like, you don't whistle at night, like, you don't eat food out at night, or you don't, like, little things like that is where I feel like, is what something that I've learned or been passed down is just, I don't even know what it is. Like, whenever we've been told, like, don't whistle at night, it's like, oh, you're gonna attract the spirits or whatever, or don't look outside a window at night, like, have your blinds closed. Once it's dark, close them so nothing's looking in at you, you know? So, those are some things that, like, my family, I guess, or just hearing my community people talk about, like, or even, like, say if you're out in the mountains or something and you're yelling someone's name at night, like, I wouldn't be out in the mountains, or say if we're just camping somewhere, and I'm like, Javi, we're taught not to yell names out because something out there can mimic your voice and call Javi and then lead you to somewhere else, you know? So, like, I wouldn't be out there being like, Javi, and then say you're out there at the bathroom or something, and then someone's yelling your name, and it's not me, but it sounds like
it. Yeah, that yeah. Would be...
So, there's things like that. That's where I try to walk a straight line on them. Okay, don't whistle at night. Don't bring this food out. Don't yell. Don't look out the window. Don't do this. Don't do that. I'm like, man, it's hard being a native at night. Just kidding. and it's always at night. I'm like, it's just one of those things. But
okay, no, that makes sense, Chikex. I was going to share that growing up, you know, we were also taught, like, your behavior could call, like, bad things to you. Oh. So, like, you know, I remember, like, hearing, like, never raise your hand to your parents because that would call, you know, yep, like the devil or whatever to you.
Oh, jeez.
We've always, and this is, like, everybody knows about this, but La Llorona, yeah, if you hear wailing or crying at night, close your doors, get inside. And, you know, just things to be aware of. Like, you need to be careful about helping strangers, even though they say, like, you should help everybody. Because you always are supposed to look at their feet. Because you know what I mean? Like, and I don't know if this is something that is also part of, like, indigenous culture, but I was also taught, like, if there's someone who you get bad energy from, like, never accept their food, you know, because they could have made it with ill intent. And if, you know, like, if someone cooks angry or stuff, like, you just spoil the food. Like, you can pass that on to yourself. So, yeah, all those things I kind of just remember, just, you know, like, be aware of. Don't be a bad kid because...
Yeah. That man calls, will take you.
That man at the supermarket. Yeah. Some poor guy is just like minding his own business, and your mom's like, he's gonna take you.
Like, no, I fucking won't.
Oh, I don't want your kid.
Yeah, I don't want your damn kid. Just kidding.
Yeah. The funny thing is now we're those senores at the grocery store.
I'm on
the mom's are. Yeah.
Like, no, oh, I would not take you. Like, you're not gonna make me look like a pervert.
Oh my gosh.
Like, excuse me.
So, last question for you. What is your favorite, like, urban legend, and why does it stick with you, like, culturally or not?
I think for me, it's gotta be the freaking king of all urban legends out there are the Bigfoot, you know? I feel like. You're like,
is Daddy Bigfoot? No. Yeah. Oh, what?
You know, Big Pappyfoot. No, I feel like Bigfoot is also, like, an indigenous thing. I don't know, like, what tribe. Because every tribe is different. So I know there are tribes that have stories relating to, you know, a hairy man or a hairy big creature. And there's words in certain tribal languages that are obviously older than English that are to describe Bigfoot, you know? So, like, like, even in our own Nimiputimd, like, we have a word for Bigfoot. Like, it's like, so I'm like, well, if the ancestors were talking about something like this, what am I supposed to do? Go against the ancestors? Just kidding. I can't do that. No, I think for me, it's always Bigfoot, and I do have, like, a Bigfoot story where I don't know if I want to share it, but I do believe that there is something out there. I don't know if it's, like, an animal or an actual, like, I feel like Bigfoot is, like, a spiritual thing too. Like, I feel like
you think so,
like,
yeah.
I don't think that Bigfoot is something that's just, like, living out there, like like a bear or like a moose or something. I think that Bigfoot is, you know, something to do with some type of spiritual shit out there. I don't know what it is. All I know is I ain't messing with it. I ain't trying to go look for it. I ain't trying to attract it. There's people in my own community who, you know, claim they have fed him or it or whatever. There's people who claim that they, you know, see him all the time here. So I don't know. I just feel like for me, people who don't understand probably think I'm crazy. But and you're right, I am crazy. Just kidding. But yeah, and I just feel like for me, it's like Bigfoot is always like, and for some reason when I look up, like when I watch things about Bigfoot or watch different videos or just read different stuff, I don't really get scared. Like I feel like it's not like a scary thing to me. Like it's just more of a like, oh, you gotta watch, like, you know, just be careful or whatever.
But yeah, what about
you better not say the Loch Ness monster.
You know, growing up, I was a weird little kid. Like, even though it scared me, I would watch all the like alien crop circle stuff.
Oh,
you
know what I mean? Yeah.
But and you know that they debunked crop circles. So it was like three white guys from like Britain or something that would travel the fields and do it. Which I'm like, okay, that tracks. But no,
sounds about white.
Yeah, I think one of the things that has stuck out to me over the years, if I'm thinking culturally, and I don't necessarily have any experience or any stories with these like phenomenons, but it would be like the lechuza. So it goes back to the owl, which is usually like a bruja, witch, or somebody, a shapeshifter that takes the form of like an owl. Mm-hmm. And when they're around, it's bad omens, you know, it's bad energy. It's when they're around, you know, you gotta take care of it. So like people, I think in my culture, people will try to shoot them down because then you're killing the bad spirit, the witch, the wizard, whoever, right? I think when I was a little kid, that would kind of freak me out sometimes. Like just thinking about it, like I'm like, so they can take any animal form, or is it always the owl? Or like,
yeah,
you just grew up knowing that they were a bad thing and you just didn't mess with it. Me just running home after I see an LA.
It's all, who following you. Yeah, no, man, we don't mess with the owls over here. No way.
Yeah, Cheekex. I think it's just interesting how everybody in there, like, this is just our own take on this, but like members of our own community, like, you know, indigenous or Latino, probably have other thoughts on like, these conversations. But what I wanted to do with this episode is just kind of get a conversation going about, you know, how we perceive or interact with this particular topic.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same, but also a little different, right?
Yeah.
All right, Cheekex, I think this is a good little segue into our language lesson. What are we teaching everybody today?
All right. Yeah, that was an interesting conversation out there.
Right.
You know, after we're done recording, I'm going to smudge, light up that Potosway, get that clean, that energy. Just kidding. But for today's language lesson, we thought it would be good to teach you a little phrase that's like an everyday phrase you could use, which is wait. So how to say that in Nimi Putimt is Kotsweya.
Kotsweya.
Uh-huh. Tatswas, Cheekex. Kotsweya.
Kotsweya. Thanks, Cheekex. And so like when I was in Hoist, I think it was stop. Was that Watu? No.
Watu?
Watu. Watu.
Watu is like no, or like don't, like it's like a what, you know, there's like,
oh, got it.
Yeah, it's like don't know or whatever, but yeah.
All right. Okay. And then to say wait in Spanish, you would say espérate.
Espérate.
Espérate, güey.
Espérate, chico.
Espérate. Yeah, espérate.
Espérate, chico. Espérate, espérate.
That's right. I hope you're all practicing at home and taking notes, because we're teaching you for free.
Yeah. This isn't no Duolingo.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, that leads up to our Shady Questions segment. If this is your first time listening, and if you live under a rock, how we do our Shady Questions is we ask three Shady Questions, and sometimes these questions will be a little tough. They can get you in the hot seat, but, you know, it's all in fun, good. good fun, mm-hmm. you know, fun, yeah. good. All fun, good. Sorry, I'm good. Yeah, sorry, I'm native.
But it's really fun. It's good fun.
No, but okay. So how this, you know, shady questions goes. If you were a ghost, where would you haunt and what would be your signature scare? Since we were talking about ghosts today. Two, has anyone ever told you you look ridiculous?
Oh.
Three, since the last time we spoke, like the last episode, we talked about sneaky links. When was the last time you met up with yours?
Oof. Okay.
Oh. Oh.
I might have to skip one today, but okay. So if you were a ghost, where would you haunt and what would be your signature scare? You know, if I'm going to be a ghost, that means I'm going to stick around. So I don't want to be like anywhere like quiet or alone. You know what I mean? That only gets frequent once in a while. I'd probably do like a little cruise ship or something.
Oh, so you can just spook people all day.
Just, yeah, there's plenty of people, new people, you know, there's fun activities that I can go to, the karaoke nights.
We do love a karaoke.
Dance, yeah. Yeah. And then what would be my signature scare? Maybe I'd just be the boogie woogie woogie, like ghost. You know, so yeah. That's how they would know me. Yeah. Then has okay. anyone told you you look ridiculous? No, just good looking.
Oh.
I can be ridiculous, you know, just in funny banter conversations, but not the way I look. You know, like, I take pride in my appearance. I'm not like super vain or anything, but you know, I'm not gonna look ridiculous.
You're like,
I can act ridiculous, but I won't look ridiculous.
There's a difference.
And then difference. And when was the last time I met up with my sneaky link?
Sneaky link.
We just texted today.
Just kidding. Like, we're meeting up after this recording. Can you hurry up, Cheek X? Can you get me out of here?
No. When you know, a gentleman never tells. And that's going to be my answer. Yeah, a gentleman never tells.
They don't. Just kidding. Okay. Well, if I was a ghost, and where would I haunt will be my signature scare. I think if I were to be a ghost, I would probably want to haunt. I'd probably want to haunt the tribal offices, like the buildings, like maybe where our tribal council are, like where they all work. So I could just be like, get to work. Just kidding. quit taking vacations. No. Yeah. I probably would probably want to haunt some of the tribal offices where our tribal council, they call them the Neptic Chamber. So I'd probably be in there. My signature scare, I'd probably be like one of those things that throws like maybe a cup or something off of the table, like I'm like boom, oh. And then throw the tape, yeah. You know, like gotcha. Yeah. Has anyone ever told you I look ridiculous? No, not that I know of. I myself also am very like, you know, conscious about like what I wear and stuff, like making sure,
right.
I think my actions, I probably was told I look like you look dumb, or you look dumb, keep taking this person, you know, like my actions of doing something could have been ridiculous, yeah. Taking, you know, things back when I should just moved on or whatever, you know, things like that. But, and I'm pretty sure like a family member has told me something like that, but
yeah.
And
like really quick, to look ridiculous, I feel like kind of just, for me personally, it's like your appearance, right? Because you mm-hmm. look ridiculous. So I'm like, well, I've never worn a tie-dye shirt, so I don't think I look ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I to look ridiculous. I mean, we can get into some people who look ridiculous now. That's another episode. Pay for our Patreon, we'll tell you. No, I was kidding. And since the last time we spoke about sneaky links in the last episode, when was the last time I met up with mine? Like, oh, you said, a
you're like this weekend in Nampa.
Told her I'm coming home, mama. Just kidding. Uncle's home. Just kidding. No, for me, you know what? I'm all trying to think of like what I can say and can't say. I mean, I can say whatever I want. It's our podcast. But I will say the last time I met up with my little sneaky link, you know, it's been a minute. It's
like 4 months?
Well, no, not that long. Like, since like a month. Not that long. Since like March. I would say March. Because there was.
Okay. So last March. Month.
Yeah.
Last month. Yeah.
Probably 3.5 weeks ago or so, you know?
And was it your house or their
house? Anyways, I'm like, and I don't, honestly, I don't even, and I, yeah.
Sorry, do you have to have too much fun with
damn.
That?
No, subscribe to our Patreon and I'll tell you the exact date. Oh, when Betsy was just in Vegas, just kidding, I had the house to myself. No, I was playing. Yeah, no, I mean, for me, like, you know, everyone's got their needs, so you gotta do what you gotta do.
You do, as long as everybody's consenting and you're adults about it.
Safe and smart.
Good. All right, Chickex. Well, this brings us to the end of our episode. And just for the record, listen to episode 8 where we said, you know, sex conversations should be normal.
Yeah. We're still trying to normalize them for ourselves.
All right, Chickex, this is the end of our episode. Do you have any last thoughts or opinions about this?
I do want to say thank you all to our loyal listeners. I know we didn't put out an episode last week and I got a few messages like, hey, you guys got any new content coming? I'm like, oh, sorry, we had schedule, you know, issues last week. Guys. So I do want to say shout out to our loyal listeners, our Brown Sounders, because, you know, there's so many options out there of podcasts you can listen to, but you decided to listen to us. So I'm like, I appreciate y'all. I do encourage you go listen to other podcasts so you can come back and realize how awesome and amazing we are. Because there's some out there, you know.
And
so,
humble. We're also humble.
We're confident in ourselves because we put a lot of work and effort into putting out good content for you all. And so we appreciate the love and support. And shout out to the Brown Sounders. And, thank you to everyone who's voted for me for the Idaho's Best. I don't know when I hear back from them. I know voting ended last Friday. So I don't know. If it works, it works. If you don't know, it is what it is. But thank you.
We'll let you know. Last closing thoughts for me is I just want to thank, you know, you all for joining us on this journey. Like, we are getting as vulnerable as we can about like these different topics we want to discuss, and we're bringing them to light because many of the times these are topics we don't really discuss with everyone at large. And so I do want to say I'm excited for the rest of the episodes this season. You know, we have a cool lineup of guests coming, and I think y'all get inspired and motivated by the people we bring in. Last things, and we remind everybody all the time in every episode, make sure to hit the follow button on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You know, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at the Brown Sound Podcast. And, you know, you'll make sure... If you do that, we'll make sure you don't miss out on any of the new episodes or any of the new content. So I think that is a good place to stop. We will see you all next time. Adios. And now a word from our sponsors. Hey there, beauty enthusiasts. Looking to level up your lash game?
Look no further than Shay's Beauty Lab, owned by the incredibly talented Shaylee Bisbee, an indigenous lash artist extraordinaire.
Shaylee's passion for enhancing natural beauty shines through in every lash extension she creates.
Whether you're into classic or crave that mega volume drama, Shay's got you covered with the latest techniques and top-notch products.
Elevate your beauty routine with Shay's Beauty Lab, located in Lewiston, Idaho. Book your appointment today by visiting Shay's Beauty Lab on Instagram and follow the booking link in the bio.
Shay's Beauty Lab, where every lash tells a story.
This awesome time is brought to you by Shay's Beauty Lab, our season 6 sponsor. Hola amigos, ¿están cansados de pasar sus fines de semana luchando con zacate rebelde y arbustos descontrolados?
Pues no se preocupen más, les presentamos a Gómez Sprinklers Landscape and Maintenance LLC, su solución integral para todas sus necesidades.
Desde el mantenimiento del zacate hasta el diseño de jardines, la instalación de sistemas de riego y todo lo que viene con jardinería. Tenemos todo cubierto en inglés y en español.
Y con nuestro equipo experto y servicios completos, pueden relajarse y disfrutar de su oasis sin levantar un dedo.
Además, servimos las áreas de Caldwell, Nampa, Boise y el Valle de Tesoro. Así que donde sea que estén, estamos aquí para servirles.
Entonces, ¿por qué esperar? Llámanos al 208-671-7740 para programar su servicio y recibir un presupuesto hoy mismo.
Gomez Sprinklers Landscape and Maintenance LLC, donde sus sueños se hacen realidad.
Este momento fantástico es presentado por Gomez Sprinklers Landscape and Maintenance LLC, nuestros patrocinadores de la temporada 6.
And muchas gracias
for listening to the Brown Sound Podcast.
We've had a blast with you all today, and make sure to tune in next time.
To follow us more closely, check us out on Instagram at the Brown Sound Podcast. For partnership opportunities or just wanting to get a hold of us, shoot us a DM on Instagram.
Disclaimer: the thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the hosts and hosts only.